Angie, everybody, the lovely, beautiful, very kind woman.
Thanks, Mark. Hello, everyone. I'm Angie. I'm an alcoholic. I'll try and remember what to say. I'm sometimes my mind goes blank. One of my earliest memories was of, well, a few of them actually, of my dad getting drunk and wrecking the house. But one that sticks in my mind was at Christmas because he threw the tree across the room. So I grew up with that. I grew up with an alcoholic, but I didn't know what alcoholic meant. I just knew that he drank too much. So I would always wonder why I just didn't stop, why he had to make life so difficult, and why we used to pack our things to go to my grandma's quite often. We never went because he must have made promises and my mum believed him. But yeah, that's what I didn't understand why I wouldn't just stop. I found out when I was older that he did go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but it wasn't for him, so he never went again. And as far as I know, he doesn't drink now. I've not spoken to them in quite a lot of years. But I think he could do with going through the steps. But that's not really for me to say, is it? So yeah, I used to my mum used to get buttercup syrup for coughs, and I remember drinking that and downing most of a bottle because it felt nice. I liked the way it felt on my throat when I drank it. But I didn't think about why I liked it. I just did. And then I started really drinking when I was 13. I used to go into pub because I looked older. I looked at 18 easy when I was 13. And I was always really wary of how much I drank because I knew that I embarrassed myself when I got drunk, so I was always controlling it. I was always on top of it and trying not to have more than everybody else had. But I'd be obsessed with watching my people finish their glasses so we could have another drink. And I remember the first time I got really drunk, I was babysitting for my cousin's neighbour, and he made me a cup, like a half pint mug with vodka, brandy, whiskey, and gin. And I drank that down and got really drunk. I didn't know why, I just knew that it felt good to be out of it. Then Well, the last time I was 18, I was married. I got married when I was 17, and then my ex-husband went to Australia, and I followed him a few months later. And then my daughter was born in Australia. And I did. I drank during my pregnancies because there wasn't the information that there is nowadays. And thankfully, all my kids are okay. But I smoked a lot of weed as well. And I think the jury's out on that one, whether it's harmful to babies. Obviously not when they were born, but when I was pregnant, I think back at it now and occasionally feel a bit of guilt, especially for drinking when I was pregnant. I just think I'm bloody lucky that they're okay. I do have a strained relationship with my youngest daughter. She just can't forgive how I was when she was growing up. Even though I've made amends and tried to do everything to make things right, she can't let it go. She's angry all the time. She's a lot like I was when I was drinking, just angry all the time. Anyway, I'll go back to coming back from Australia. I met my now ex within a couple of, within about 6 weeks of coming back to England. And we were together 15 years. I was looking for someone who was the opposite of my ex-husband, who was unreliable and couldn't hold down a job and screwed anything that moved. But with Ian, he had his own job and house and car and treated me really nicely until I've realised after breaking up with him that he was really financially abusive. I had to get a job so that I could buy stuff for the kid because he'd refused to give me money for even for Christmas presents and stuff. I had to get out of loans to get them presents. And I thought at the time that was normal. But I've since grown up a bit and realised it's not. But we broke up, and I think one of the reasons we broke up is because don't know, I think I never really loved him like I thought I did, because I had lots of affairs when we were together. But I was drinking then, and I realise now if I was with someone and wanted to be with someone else, I'd break up with the first person first. I wouldn't have that behaviour anymore. But he also slipped around too, so I think we were both as bad as each other. But when we split up, I used to drink each night because I'd say I was a single mother, so I deserved to drink. I'd find any kind of excuse. I'd wake up on a morning being pissed off that I'd woken up, because I never wanted to. And I didn't, I wanted to just not wake up. I just wanted to stop feeling like I did. The way the drink numbed everything for me. But I realised it wasn't getting to the root of the problem. And I used to go on this chat platform called Pal Talk, and I used to just chat to random people, and we'd do music. There'd be a music quiz where they play the first bars of a song and you had to guess what it was, and it just seemed like the best thing in the world when I was drunk and stoned. But one night there wasn't much on. It was a bit boring, so I looked on the list of rooms there were, and I saw Alcoholics Anonymous, and I thought a bunch of idiots who could just stop drinking instead of complaining about it, because I'd grown up with my dad like that, so I just had no respect for people who drank too much and didn't stop. But I realise now I was looking at myself when I was looking on there, and I went on and asked the people lots of questions about why they thought they were alcoholic and stuff, and they just kept telling me to go to face-to-face meetings, and I eventually did, but I asked them lots of questions beforehand, like, Do I have to pay? What do I say? What do I wear? What do I think of other people? And eventually, I did get to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and the guy outside, the greeter, said, "Am I a friend of Bill W?" And I said, "I've no idea who that is. I'm just here for the AA meeting." And it was weird. I felt at home, but sort of like a bit disjointed, because I suppose any other time I'd be drunk on an evening. So it felt weird not being drunk. And I remember looking around at the posters on the wall and not understanding them. And when people were sharing horrible things that they'd done and said, I didn't believe them because I think, look at this lovely, well-dressed, smart-looking man or woman, and they're saying they did all these horrible things. I just didn't believe them because I didn't believe that that people could change. But because, like I said, I'd grown up with that. So yeah, my first meeting was I've got I think it was about 19 years ago, my first meeting, or 19 or 20 years ago. I had like a biscuit. I've kept the biscuit wrapper, and that's in my purse. So that's my memento from my first meeting. And then the second meeting I went to was lovely because there were people there from the first meeting, so it felt like I already knew them. And I was in, well, because my ex had left, we were having to sell the house, and I found it difficult trying to buy another house because the house that I'd found, the owner wanted more money and I didn't have it. And I thought, well, had no idea what I was going to do. But the people in the meeting helped me, and I said, this is just doing my head in. I'm going to go get drunk. And I was given a lift home, and then somebody rang me when I got home. And so I was talking to them, and I managed to buy a house without getting drunk. So that was good. And then it was on, I think, Boxing Day 2004. I think it was the day of the tsunami or near to it. I met a guy at a meeting, and well, we got together for a year actually. I always wondered why, what attracted me to him, and I realized that we were both as mad as each other. But that was like 10 years worth of intense relationship in a year. I was obsessed with him. And well, to the detriment of everything else, my kids would say to me, if you're happy that Brian's coming over, why are you not that happy with us? And I just couldn't answer them because I didn't understand why I was feeling that way. The obsession, I couldn't get out of it. And I was forever trying to make him happy and trying to hope that he'd treat me the way I treated him, but he didn't. And towards the end of that relationship, like a week ago now, I decided to drink again because I'd been to a meeting, and I texted him pretending it was someone else, the wrong number, because I had another phone. And he told me he was single, and I was sat in the meeting on that Monday night thinking, right, I can't handle this. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I'm just going to go drink. And when I got home, when I got the bus home, I went to the supermarket before I went home. And I ended up seeing two, three people from the meetings, and they were insisting on talking to me. And I was just thinking, well, you just bugger off so I can buy this booze. So I did, and I drank for a week. And most of that time I drank during the day too. I don't think I was at work then, or it was the school holidays or something. But on the last day that I got drunk on the Sunday, I'd woken up feeling awful, like the worst hangover ever, and I decided that I was going to go back to AA. And we'd split up on, I think it was on Christmas Day, I split up with him. And life got calmer. It was lovely. I didn't have that obsession anymore eventually. And I realised that I was worth more. That I shouldn't have to sort of jump through hoops to be with someone. And then he died a few years later, but he did take a lot of cocaine, so it was his heart that stopped, I believe. And I'd been in hospital because I had cervical cancer and I had an operation and then chemo and radiotherapy and stuff. And I felt weird anyway because of all the stuff I was going through. But I found out that when he died, it was one of the days I was having the chemo, and then his funeral was actually on my birthday. So I often wonder what he'd be doing now. But it just shows me that I was right not to take cocaine as much as he did. I took it sometimes, but I really liked it. So I stopped. I had to stop because I knew that I'd get addicted to it. Then I went to At that time, I used to go to loads of AA meetings. Quite a lot of times, I'd go two times a day. And I thought that was brilliant that I could get to so many meetings and meet all these friends, some of them that I hadn't met yet, which was lovely just to have people around me that understood how I felt and I could relate to them. Then my daughter had twins. I think they're 11 or 12 now. And her husband worked weird shifts. So I was at Laura's house most of the time, just helping her with them because, well, it's twins. You need two people, really. And because I was doing that, because I was at her house, I missed meetings. Eventually, I just stopped going because life got too busy. And I used to go to conventions sometimes, but if there was too many people there, it freaked me out. So I'd spend a lot of time in my room. Yeah, I don't mind conventions, but it was having to talk to a lot of people that I just couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it. I'm an introvert and I love my own company. So when COVID hit, I found there was a friend of mine had a Facebook group, and I found all these AA meetings and went to a few of them, but I just, in a way, it was just like a face-to-face meeting as with the religious aspect of it. And it felt, it just felt the same because I didn't understand the religious aspect of it. I just, well, because I'm Buddhist anyway, so I don't believe in any God. I was able to say that to people when I was on the helpline, you know, if they say I've been to AA and there's too much religious stuff there, I'd just say that about me being Buddhist. And I believe it did help a lot of people because they were able to go to meetings and not be drawn in by people who said they had to believe in God or Not even another higher power, or just people were Bible bashing. Then I can't remember how I found secular. I think it was the Oh My God website. I found the I went to a few of their meetings, and it was wonderful that I could speak to people who weren't trying to persuade me to believe in their God. And then I found Tusnua and met Mark, and Mark got me into the Tusnua stuff and met loads of other lovely friends. And it feels like I'm at home now. Other days, the days that I used to have, I just felt like not part of anything, but I feel part of it now. And I've met loads of lovely friends, and the few of us have, we see each other twice a week, which is nice to have someone to talk to people who listen. You know, I mean, I know in face-to-face meetings you do get a chance to talk, but there's no secular meetings near me. But I'm so glad I found you all and made so many lovely friends, and I love you all. And thanks, Mark. I'll leave it there.